It's time for Mighty Winds of Praise with Pastor David Tucker, a media ministry of the Rushing Wind Church of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me?
Contact Pastor Tucker at rwcogpastor@gmail.com. That's rwcogpastor@gmail.com. Or through the website, www.rushingwindchurch.com. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor David Tucker on VOTL Radio.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David Tucker of the Rushing Wind Church of God in Owensboro, Kentucky. I'm so excited about what God is doing in our church, and I'm glad that we're able to share just a little bit of it with you. I hope that you will take this opportunity to worship with us as we take you to one of our services where I preached a message that I hope and pray will bless your heart. If so, please contact us and let us know through our website, which will be given to you by the announcer at the end of this broadcast. God bless you as we worship together today. John chapter 3, verse number 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. I want you to pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, and we ask for your anointing to flow through this place, Lord, that you would bless each person, Lord, that we would open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear from you today, and that you would bless us to deliver the word the way you have laid it on our heart. Father, we just ask for your anointing so that we can glorify you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. After these things came Jesus. If you look, we're in John the third chapter, probably one of, besides Psalm 23, probably one of the most quoted verses of Scripture in the world is here in this passage of Scripture in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This goes along with the story of Nicodemus, who could not figure out what it meant to be born again. He got confused because the human mind cannot comprehend spiritual things always. Sometimes things come along that we just don't get when it deals with the Lord and when it deals with the Spirit. But verse 22 says, "And after these things came Jesus." So I want to speak to you this morning just for a few minutes on the thought, then came Jesus. Our society that we live in today says that anything goes. You don't believe me? When you leave here, pay attention to those you see walking on the street. Now it's getting fall and the weather's a little bit cooler and the temperatures have dropped, so there's a little more clothing on the bodies that are out there. But I saw a cartoon this week that was very indicative of the way our society has gone, and it was this. There was a lady sitting on the couch in her living room and a young son standing there with his pants down the way they're wearing them today, sagging. And the dad was outside watering his front lawn and had his pants pulled down that far with his underwear exposed and his tank top on, and the son had this ghastly look on his face, and the mother said, "He says he'll stop that when you stop." Amen. But we live in a society where it's fine to do whatever you want to, anytime you want to, anyhow you want to, because it's your life and it don't affect anybody else. Psychologists will tell us that everything we do affects those who are closest to us. Every decision we make affects those that are around us. And we are affected by those that we associate with. I think one of the hardest lessons I remember hearing my mom and my sister argue over was the people you hang out with, whether you're doing those things or not, you're guilty by association according to most people. So the ones you run with are the ones that get you in trouble a lot of times, whether you did anything or not. And I could have the whole room of adults shouting amen this morning if I jumped on the teenagers and the young people. But let me tell you, us older folks sometimes are not any better. Our human nature and our human mind tends to gravitate toward those things that are negative. That's why the media always has the negativity plastered all over the pages, and the good things in the newspaper are hidden in the smallest section, in the darkest corner. You don't see those things that are wonderful and great, that God is a great God, plastered all over Yahoo and Google. MSN doesn't report on those things, and we know about the news companies and those news stations and how negative they are about everything. But many people today are thinking wrongly that whatever we do, as long as we show up to church from every now and then, we can still make it to heaven. As a matter of fact, some of the pastors of the largest churches in America are on television, and they will tell you, one in particular said on Larry King Live before an international audience, that there are many ways to get to heaven. They're teaching that you can live any way you want and still make it. Some are teaching, as Brother Joe was telling us this morning, that you send me $100 and I'll give you this miracle water. Or I'll give you a green handkerchief. You hand me $100, you can have my bottle of water. It's no more than just a bottle of water. It says it's purified smart sense water, but it's probably just out of a tap somewhere. Let me tell you, we live in a society where everything you look at is a falsehood and a negative option for your mind. But we as Christians believe the truth. And the Bible still says that in John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, he was talking to doubting Thomas, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, but strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want you to understand this morning that our human nature takes us the wrong direction. Every time, if we're leaning on ourselves, our human nature will cause us to badmouth each other, to backbite each other, to gossip about others. Our human nature will cause us to be disrespectful to one another, to God, and to God's house. Our human nature causes us to be so nonchalant about the things of God that we will come into God's house and not even recognize when the praise and worship begins, we're still gossiping and having our party instead of realizing it's now time to shut my mouth, be quiet, and give God the praise for giving me the opportunity to be here. Our human nature causes us, when people are praying at the altar, to get up and turn our back on them and leave the building. Our human nature causes us to be more worried about making it to the restaurant at 12 o'clock than staying to figure out what God could do that would change our life completely. Our human nature causes us to have everything else under the sun and more important in our life than God. And as humans, I'm thankful this morning as a human being that way back in time that God realized and understood That the creation that He created and gave us our own mind to make our own choices got way off track somewhere and thought that as long as somebody was praying, everybody else would be all right. And then came Jesus. God knew that we needed a sacrifice, that we needed a Savior. So He sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross so that you and I could be set free from this world. Some of us need to understand that we're not called to be like Saul, who was one of the greatest persecutors the church has ever known, killing Christians for serving God. Well, I've never killed anybody, Pastor. Not physically, you haven't. But the Bible says your tongue is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it says that we're supposed to bridle our tongue. Keep it under control. Can I take it one step farther and say our attitude needs to be the same way? And then I'm moving on. Rather than treating our brothers and sisters like Saul was treating the church, rather than paying attention to the negativity that dwells among us, we need to pay attention to what God has done and have a life-changing experience like Paul had on the road to Damascus when he was going to persecute more Christians. God came down and met with him and changed him completely, so much that it changed his name to Paul. Amen. There's an old hymn that says there's a new name that's written down in glory. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels, am I right? Tell the story. A sinner has come home. Can I tell you that when you meet Jesus Christ and you allow Him to change your life, the angels in heaven rejoice because a sinner has come home and changed his life. And let me tell you, then a new name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life that has you attached to it. I don't want anybody to look at me and think, David Tucker's a wonderful person because of anything that David Tucker does. I want them to look at me and say that David Tucker is a wonderful person because of what God has done in his life. Because you don't know where I was way back when. You don't know what road I was headed down. You don't know what place I was headed to. But God came in and He changed my life completely. Then came Jesus into my life. And I remember at the age of 13, oh, you weren't going down the wrong way that young. Oh, yes, I was. Those that you hang around with will steer you one direction or the other. And I was hanging with a pretty rough bunch of guys. We were looking in the wrong direction to do all of the things that we didn't need to do. But at 13 years old, God came down and He met me where I was in a church, and I ran to the altar. And I remember about 9 o'clock on that Saturday night in October, I'm about to have a birthday, that we got down on our knees and began to pray, and the old saints of God got down beside me, and I knew that they weren't going to leave me until I got a hold of something that would change my life. And I can tell you, it hadn't always been perfect and it hasn't always been easy, but He has always been faithful to me, even when I've walked away from Him. Some of us know where we were before we met the Lord. Some of you sitting here this morning were addicted to alcohol, but then came Jesus. Some of you sitting here this morning were addicted to drugs, but then came Jesus. Some of you sitting here this morning may have been addicted to pornography, but then came Jesus. Some of you may have been addicted to the honky-tonk, but then came Jesus. Some of us have personal and private issues that we struggle with, but I'm here to tell you this morning, then comes Jesus into your life, and He is the one that can break every stronghold of bondage in you. Hallelujah. We need to get to a place where we have a true life-changing experience with Jesus instead of kneeling down and praying just enough to make us feel better on Sunday morning. I'm convinced that in churches today across America, many, many people will go to an altar and they'll raise their hand and they'll repeat a prayer after someone else, and then they'll walk out the door and they'll think, well, I got just enough to feel good this morning. That's enough to last me till next Sunday morning. I'll go and do whatever I want to do and live however I want to live. You better hope and pray that God doesn't come back before the next Sunday morning. We're living in a place today that we could hear the trumpet sound at any moment. Things have lined up, prophecies have been fulfilled, and we're ready for the sound of the trumpet any moment, for Jesus to step out on the clouds and split the eastern sky, coming back for His saints. But let me tell you, He's coming back for a church that is white without blemish, that is white without wrinkle, that is spotless and ready and looking for His return. While we're walking around with our head hung down between our shoulders, shuffling our feet and kicking the rocks and the cans in front of us, feeling sorry for ourselves and grumbling because somebody else has it better than we do, we'd better be looking up, giving God praise for what He's done in our life and changing us, turning us around. You see, Daniel was in a sticky spot, thrown into a lion's den, but Daniel had the faith to believe, and we know the story that then Jesus came and the lions became pillows and blankets. We know the story of the three Hebrew children, how they were thrown into the fiery furnace that was stroked seven times hotter than normal, to the point that it burnt up the men who threw them in. But when the king went to look and see, looking for some kind of disintegrated bones, down there he saw four men loose in the fire, and he said that one is like the Son of God. Can I tell you this morning, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ today, then every fiery furnace, every trial, every persecution, every trouble you go through becomes something you can make it through, because the fourth man, who is like the Son of God, who is the Son of God, is still in the fire and he's walking with you today. If you've had that life-changing experience, many of us could stand and testify today and say, I was on my way to hell, but God came down and He got my attention and He changed me completely. What happens when God changes us? Life gets a little easier. I didn't say problems go away. I didn't say all your financial problems are fixed. We create our own messes. Some of us are still trying to figure out how to get out of them. I can give you some quick pointers. You want to get out of your financial mess? First, be faithful in paying tithes. God will begin to bless you. Then start giving some offerings. I don't care if it is $5. Give it. Watch God give it back to you. Amen. That's right. Not a whole lot of amens there. Start getting faithful in giving God praise and worship every day of your life, instead of getting up saying, oh Lord, it's morning. Get up and say, good morning. I'm thank you. It's that you're still Lord.
Oh, I hate to get up and go to work this morning. I don't want to go into that place. Those people drive me crazy. I can't stand my boss and those people. They've got the nastiest, filthy mouths all the way around me. Go in there giving God praise. Do everything you do heartily as unto the Lord. And then you can walk in with your head held high and you will understand that God will use you as a witness wherever you go. Get home in the evening and we're tired and we're grumpy and we don't want to be messed with, and the kids have to have some attention and the spouse has to have some attention and they all want something from us, and we want to go in a room and scream and throw some mattresses on the wall to bounce ourselves off of because we can't hardly stand it anymore. But let me tell you, when you've got God in your heart, He changes you so that you can trust in Him and say, God, I thank you for the blessings you poured out in my life. I thank you for those children. I thank you for that spouse. I understand and I realize. That even Job questioned and wondered about the woman that God sent into his life. When he didn't have anything else, I could just imagine being in his shape when she came and said, why don't you curse God and die? I can just imagine if his mind works anything like mine, he had to be thinking, God, why didn't you take her first? But let me tell you something, regardless of what's been taken from you or what you've allowed the enemy to come in and steal from your life, God is still in control and He's still in charge of your life if you allow Him to be. And He is the giver of our life. He will bless us if we learn to bless Him. When He changes our lives become happier and more fulfilled. We look forward. We look forward to the opportunity to come to God's house, to give Him praise, to see our brothers and sisters. Can I just be honest? I'm going to say what most of you won't right now. Can I do that? I'm going to say what most of you would not admit to. Some people in the church just get on my nerves so bad I can't hardly stand to walk in the door on Sunday morning. Come on, I'm going to read your mind for just a minute. I see it in your faces. When I see you giving each other cold shoulders. Huh? Pastor was gone last Sunday, but let me tell you, as soon as I knew that church was over and I was out of church myself, I texted Sister Debbie to find out how things went. Just because I'm gone doesn't mean that I'm completely forget you. And she said everything was great. I said, good. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't ask who was here. But then I got another text message that said, Pastor, it was great this morning. And I said, wonderful, I knew it would be. We had 72 people and a whole bunch of visitors. And I looked at Sister Melissa and I said, I just got a text message that said, we had 72 people and a whole bunch of visitors. Wonder how many home folks laid out this morning. A bunch of them were apparently missing. We got more than 70 people in our church body that says they attend regularly. And I didn't text Sunday night. I waited till I got home. We got home about 9 o'clock Sunday night after spending a full day and evening with family and driving the 3 hours home. I came over to the church to check everything and adjusted the air back to where it should be and turned off water and lights and things that had been left on, and went and checked my weekly report and saw 31 people on Sunday night. And I thought, ooh. Well, the pastor's away, so a lot of people just decided to stay home. Then I found out that we had 11 visitors, so that means only 20 of our church people came out Sunday night. And I thought, who should I go scream and yell at? Well, I came in here and did that several times this week. And here has been my prayer all week. God, wake us up to the point that we understand what we are missing when we're backbiting and hurting and discussing other things. Let us put our mind on you, that our mind can be the mind of Christ, so that we see beyond our four walls. We see beyond what's right in front of our nose, and we see a lost and dying world that's going to hell in a handbasket this morning that needs somebody to show them, not just tell them, show them the love of Jesus Christ. That when we walk out of here on Sunday, our conversation is not about who had what on or who didn't shake my hand. Or how many got mad at what the preacher had to say, so we're not going to go back tonight. But rather that we walk out of here, and wherever we go this afternoon, that we have the love of Jesus Christ shining abroad on our hearts, that shows up on our face and in our attitude, so that we can tell others about Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus comes along, He makes a difference in us so that we can make a difference in everybody else around us. I get tired. Listen, I get tired of hearing it. I get tired of hearing this person and that person said this or that. I get tired of hearing, I don't like that person's attitude. I get tired of hearing, well, you know, if that person just would quit coming to church, we might do something. I wish we would get to the place that we would see in our lives that when I was down and I was weak and I was hurting, that then came Jesus to pick me up and to set me on a solid rock so that I could be a blessing to somebody else. I wish that we would understand when I was broke and didn't have a dime to my name, that then came Jesus and He provided the needs that He has for me. Let me tell you, I wish that we would understand this church has faced being closed more than once, some more closely than you know, even more recently than you know. But let me tell you, even though some said, give up, close the doors, let those people go somewhere else, then came Jesus and He prepared us for what is taking place today. Now, when will we get beyond all of the grumbling and complaining and the mess? When will we get beyond looking at our circumstance? When will we get beyond looking at our debt? When will we get beyond looking at the business side so much and begin to look at the Spirit and say, God, pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. Send us souls into this place. Let them come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. When will we see each of us realize and understand? I love every person in my church family and even those that are remotely connected with it. I shared with somebody this week who said, I don't know, your church is great. They visited last week. Your church is great and it's loving and people were very kind, but I don't know if I want to attend there or some other church. And I said, you just get yourself in church and tell me you're in church. That'll make me happy. Whether it's my church or not, you get yourself into church and follow after what God wants in your life. But let me tell you something. Make sure that it's a church that will tell you the truth and not just allow you to live your life the way you want to and go to hell anyway. We've got churches even in this town that are teaching falsehoods. And I'm not going to go any farther. What we need is an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost outpouring revival that causes, I'm not talking about a revival that brings sinners in. I'm talking about a revival of the church to get the home fires burning again in our hearts that will set us ablaze so that we can go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. What happens when a revival takes place? It stirs something up inside of you. It brings the dead part of you back to life so that God can move in you again. And that's what I'm looking for God to do in our church. I want us to look at the situation every service and say, you know, I was tired this morning. Maybe you didn't feel good this morning. Maybe your body aches this morning. But I came to church and then came Jesus into my situation and He changed me and He turned it around for me. Every time we come together, I believe God can do that. Stand with me this morning. I give God praise for what He's doing. I thank Him for what He's doing. I'm thankful that God has decided to send Jesus our way and that He is pouring out blessings on us. But listen, I want to see us get to a place that we walk at a higher level than most of us have been shuffling our feet and dragging ourselves through. You're a Christian this morning. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ and He has changed your life, you don't need to walk in the mud anymore, but get up on the rock and stay there and walk where He can walk you through the blessings. I was blessed last Sunday morning to open my email right before church. My phone buzzed to let me know I had one, and I had an email from someone in Vietnam that had listened to our radio broadcast and was sharing with me how blessed he was. And he couldn't wait until we were broadcasting again so that he could get more of God's Word. I felt so blessed sitting there in the little church I was in, thinking, God, this is what You're doing with our church. This is what You're doing with our people. But God, help us in our church to be who we say we are and to be the family that You've called us to be. Help us to be a light and a witness in this community and everywhere that we go, so that people can see the difference in us. I want to ask you this morning. Maybe you're here and you can't say that Jesus has changed your life completely. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Him at all. We'd love to introduce you to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and your attitude hadn't been quite right, and it's hindering you from receiving the blessings God wants you to have in your life. Come. Maybe you're here this morning and you've just been struggling, and you needed to be reminded today that Jesus is the one who turned you around to start with. Put your eyes back on Him and stop looking at the circumstance. Come. Maybe you're here and you're discouraged today. Let me encourage you that He still loves you more than you even love yourself. And He wants to bless you. Come and let Him do that. I want us just to pray together. Father, I thank You this morning, Lord, that You walked into my life. Lord, that You came into me and You changed me from who I was to who I am now. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to stay with me to see who I can be. Father, I pray today for our church family, God, that you would bless every person connected with our family, Lord, who sat here this morning and listened to this message. God, that you would bless us, Father God, that you would pour out blessings upon us. Lord, if there would be any here today that don't know you and don't have a personal relationship with you, then I pray, Lord, that you would deal with their hearts and let them know how much you love them. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning who are disheartened or discouraged or hurting. I pray, God, a special blessing of your peace and your comfort on their life. God, that you would wrap your arms around them even now and love on them today. Father, I pray for those that are struggling, God, that you would encourage them to take the next step in their journey. And I pray for us as a church, God, that you would move in us, that we would start looking around to see the harvest and going after that harvest, bringing them into your family. And that would become our number one objective. Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing right now. And I pray you bless every person that's kneeling at this altar and every person that is standing in your presence today, God, that you would just bless and pour out abundant blessings upon them. And I'll give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Without your all consumed. Thank you, Jesus. Passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to spend one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to spend one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead? Lord
of glory. This has been the broadcast time of the Rushing Wind Church of God with Pastor David Tucker from Owensboro, Kentucky. You may contact Pastor Tucker by emailing rwcogpastor@gmail.com. That's rwcogpastor@gmail.com. Or through the website www.rushingwindchurch.com. That's rushingwindchurch.com. Or write to P.O. Box 22415, Owensboro, Kentucky. The zip code is 42304. Again, that's P.O. Box 22415, Owensboro, Kentucky. The zip code 42304. And again, the website, rushingwindchurch.com. Thanks for listening to Mighty Winds of Praise with Pastor David Tucker on VOTL Radio.